following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hello, Refuge family. Good to see you guys today. Happy Friday to you guys. I'm excited to be able to share just today's daily devo. So thanks for joining us. I'm going to pray and we're going to get into our time. Father, thank you for your word, God, which is alive, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, we need, Lord, the truths of your word to meet us, to shape us, to change us. Lord, help us to not be conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our minds because of it. So, Lord, would you meet us, and would you speak to your people exactly where they are at today? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so actually, I want to kick off our time by taking you with me on a trip just down memory lane for a moment. So when I was a kid, one of my biggest fears was of ventriloquist dummies. I don't know if it was the ominous look that they had in their eyes or the fact that their mouth was just disconnected from the rest of their bodies, but there was something that was creepy about them that I definitely did not like, and I always thought that they were going to somehow come to life on me at some point, right? In fact, I remember my family and I, for some reason, we stayed at my aunt's overnight, and my aunt actually had a ventriloquist dummy. And so I remember purposing to go into the room where the ventriloquist dummy was and actually grabbed the ventriloquist dummy, and I picked it up and I punched it as hard as I could straight in the face, and I said, hey, you better not come alive on me, right? Otherwise, there's a lot more of that where that came from. And to my knowledge, after that event, he actually listened. But that was a fear that I had as a kid, and thankfully since then have definitely grown out of. Now, there are probably fears that maybe you can think back and think about that maybe you had when you were a kid that eventually disappeared as well, right? As you began to kind of learn or kind of recognize that, hey, certain things about this life. For me, it was realizing that ventriloquist dummies don't come alive when you leave the room. But my point is thankfully, as adults, most of us are not living with a fear of something being underneath our bed anymore, or we're not living with a fear of something being behind our closet door, right? But here's the thing. Though we probably grew out of fearing those types of things, how many of us still fear the uncertainties of this life? You know, what's on the other side of this year? What's on the other side of this COVID thing? What's on the other side of all the racial tension? What's on the other side of a plummeting economy and rising national debt? You see, just because we are adults doesn't mean that we stop fearing all of life's uncertainties. And even, I would say, before 2020, I'm sure there was still a multitude of uncertain things that from time to time came and crept in and made you a little bit fearful at times. And here's the thing, if that's you, can I just say that you are not alone in that. You are not alone in that. I hope you know that. In fact, you know, there were times, I think in this year personally, where, I found my own heart feeling fearful at times about all of the uncertainties going on. But author Bob Goff would actually say, courage is not the absence of fear. It's deciding that fear is no longer calling the shots in our lives. Which sounds really good, right? All of us are like, man, we would love to get there. But how does a person get there? Well, if you're not a believer, we love you. We're so glad that you're joining us and tuning in. But I'm not sure how to get there. But if you're a believer, I would say it has everything to do with recognizing and living in the reality that God is with you. Where do I get that from? Well, in the Old Testament, we see that in people like Joshua, you know, as he is about to go into Jericho, God says, hey, don't be strong and courageous, like don't fear, right? In David, man, his fearlessness as he goes and approaches Goliath was because he knew God was with him. Elisha, there's an amazing story in 2 Kings chapter 5 of, you know, this huge army coming surrounding Elisha, and yet he didn't fear because God was with them. In the New Testament, we see this in the disciples, right? There's the moment where the disciples were on the ocean and the waves were crashing and they were getting fearful, but they didn't have to fear because God was with them. The Apostle Paul, as he's on his journeys, in fact, on his third missionary journey, in the book of Acts, we see that, you know, he's out there traveling. He gets to Jerusalem, and he gets a chance to speak in front of this huge group of people who are there for the festival of Pentecost. And man, things go so bad that he actually has to get rescued by a Roman commander and taken out of there before they killed him. The next day, or soon after, he gets a chance to then go and speak in front of the Sanhedrin, which were the religious leaders of the day. And he got a chance to share with them, and things again went so bad that, man, the Roman commander had to take him out of there because both times turned into riots and both times turned into people wanting to end Paul's life. And here's the thing, if you read the book of Acts, you know that that wasn't something that was new to Paul. He was used to actually being beaten at times, or, you know, even being put so close to death that, you know, that he'd been through a lot of different things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he goes through an exhaustive list of, you know, some of the things that he had been through for the sake of Christ. So he wasn't fearful. In fact, most of the time, if you look at Paul, his life was almost like this unstoppable force, as his motto was, hey, you know, if I'm going to live this thing, I'm going to live for Jesus. If I'm going to die, that means that I actually gain because I gain Jesus. And so he almost seemed like, man, this unstoppable just person that was not fearful of anything. And yet, something here in this time frame made Paul discouraged and even seemingly fearful. How do I know that? Well, Acts 23 records Paul, and he's in custody, he's in the barracks, and while he's there, Jesus comes and he meets him where he is. In Acts 23:11, it says, "The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome.'" Now, interesting note here, anytime you see in Scripture, someone having to be told to be courageous or to be strong or to not fear, you know, it's because there's a little bit of fear there. And what I love about this is, guys, I think we often look at Scripture and we almost kind of dehumanize the people that we're reading about. At least I know I do from time to time, right? But here's the thing. Passages like this, it kind of reminds us that, you know, these are very much human beings, but they've been shaped radically by the grace of God, and their lives were surrendered radically to Jesus, and God used them powerfully, right? He used them powerfully. I love the Scripture in James chapter 5, which tells us a lot about Elijah, where Elijah, having a nature like ours, he prayed, and for 3 years it didn't rain. Now, it's not saying that Elijah was this amazing being, but rather that, man, God worked through him, and we have the same God in us today. But here's the thing. The basis of what Jesus was telling Paul as he was exhorting him and encouraging him, he was saying, hey, you know what? Just as you got this chance to share here in Jerusalem, though you think it went poorly, you're actually going to get a chance to share about me in Rome. And while he was there physically, his presence was there, he was saying, hey, you know what? This whole promise of me being with you even to the end of the age, like, I'm going to be there with you. And he was meeting Paul exactly where he was. He was there with them. And here's the thing, guys. If you are a believer, you too have the promise that Jesus is going to be with you even to the end of the age. In Matthew 28:28, you know, we see Jesus as he sent out his disciples to be on mission and to be his witnesses and make disciples. He not only told them to go, but he says, hey, when you go, and I promise that, man, I'm going to be there with you even to the end of the age. So if all these things that I just mentioned, if all these things are true, then what does that have to do with us not fearing the uncertainties of life? Well, number one, firstly, I would say, if God is for you, then who could be against you? Right? That's the promise of Romans chapter 8. It says that, you know, if God who is for us, then who can be against us? And man, that is such an amazing reality to think of. You know, earlier I'd mentioned quickly about that story of Elisha and in 2 Kings chapter 5. But here's the deal. In that passage, he was surrounded by this huge, powerful army. But he was not afraid because God was with him. His servant who was there with him named Gehazi was afraid. He was freaking out like, what is going on? How are we going to get out of here? And yet here's the cool thing is that he was able to stay calm and remain. And he prays that God would show Gehazi, hey, open up his eyes so he can see that there's more for us than there are against us. And God opens up his eyes and he sees this multitude of angels around him. Now, how often do we think and see the circumstance and that thing becomes bigger than realizing, hey, we have a much bigger God than anything in this world, right? The same God that created the heavens, the earth, that spoke these things into being, the same God that split the Red Seas is the same God that promises to be with you always. Man, what an amazing promise. Secondly, know that God always makes good on his promises, right? When Jesus told Paul here in Acts 23, he says, hey, go, this is what's going to happen to you. And guess what? It was not easy, but man, all those things came to pass. When it comes to the promises of God, we know that he is faithful and true. We know that he's faithful and just to fully fulfill his promises, right? And so when we see promises in scripture, we can cling to those things because that's the nature of our God. We can trust that he is faithful. We can trust that he's true. One of my favorite promises is that he's faithful, that he that began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. And man, so even through whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, we can know that God is going to use it ultimately to shape us to be more like him because he's shaping us and he's faithful to complete that work in us. Thirdly, we see that Paul was met by God in the midst of hardship. Now, this one is a hard one to hear because none of us likes hardship. But here's the thing. Ephesians chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 4 tells us that because of what Christ has done, because of our trust in Christ, we actually have access to God. And that's an amazing thing that we can come boldly now into his throne room of grace. But what's evident in Paul's story, and maybe what's evident in your own life, is, you know, many of our most powerful experiences the experiences where God meets us most powerfully, a lot of times is in our hardships. It's when things are challenging. It's when things are going on around us. As author Henry Blackaby points out, you know, those become opportunities for God to showcase who he is on our behalf, right? As he's provider, sustainer, father, good shepherd, and the like, the things that scripture tells us about him, those are opportunities for us to see him as faithful as those things. Similarly, C.S. Lewis famously wrote, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So the question you might be asking is, okay, then where is, you know, what does all this mean for us? Well, it means we have a God who is faithful. We have a God who sustains. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who's sovereignly in control. And because of that, we don't have to fear all of the uncertainties ahead of us, around us, before us, right? We get to trust because the greatest certainties from God have already been promised to us. We've been given a new life. We've been promised that if you've trusted Jesus, you have eternity forever with him ahead. We have the promise of his return. We have the promise of the gift of his presence. We have the promise for him to work even in the midst of our challenging or trying situations. And so when we say that we don't have to fear the uncertainties of life, it doesn't mean that you don't physically or maybe emotionally fear anything, that there's nothing scary anymore inside your life. It means that when we are faced with these things, now we bring it before the Lord and we get to trust that, and we don't have to because he's going to meet us in those things. He's going to be there. He's the great I am, amen, and he goes with us. And so, guys, just want to encourage you guys today, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, and you don't have to fear knowing that God is there with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for, God, just your unchanging nature that we can count on. Thank you for the truths that you've given us to be able to cling to. And I pray that for just my brothers and sisters today who are listening and watching, God, may you meet them exactly where they're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.